Message for today is entitled, The Conflict Within. Avoid temptation and seek God's path for a healthy life. And it was interesting that as the Lord was having me prepare for His message today, I woke up from a nap. And God said the message should be called Good Habits Make Good Health. So I had to put them both in there. You may say, how is it, why is it also known as? Well, I just wanted to let you know that it actually came as I was waking up that this is very, very important, that God wants us to have good habits in order for us to have a good, healthy life. Last Sunday's sermon, the Lord emphasized to us all that we must pursue God's way in resolving conflict with one another. As an introduction, I had mentioned that if you are the only one, you remember last week I said if you're the only one on an island, it may be difficult for you to forage for food or water, clothing or shelter, but there would be no conflict because you were there by yourself. Doing it your way, without anybody arguing with you. As I thought about that illustration all this last week, I came to the conclusion that even when we do things our way in isolation, there can still be conflict within ourselves. An ongoing conflict between evil sin nature and good, a conflict between the path of temptations that can lead to sin and God's path of holy living that leads to a healthy life. I believe that conflicts that arise and manifest themselves between one another is an outward germination or a growth of one's inner conflicts that eventually spew out in our relationship with others, even within the congregation of the church. If we rationalize that our sinful behavior is acceptable, in order, sometimes for some people, the only way they can get up in the morning is, who can I irritate today? Then we will act out accordingly to validate and reinforce our perspective that it's always the other person's fault, and the other person either needs to see it my way and make a change in their life, or else they got to go. And then we do that politicking on how do we get that person out of here. You see the evil there? A person with this perspective does not think anything is wrong with himself. But in reality, it hurts not only themselves, but it also hurts everyone else around them. They develop a fixation. They develop a habit. They develop an addiction. And then that becomes the thing that consumes them, what they talk about, what they spend their daytime breathing over, what they dream about when they're asleep. It becomes what they worship most rather than God. Now, our church covenant mandates that we will avoid all addiction, all harmful practices and substances, and seek health in mind and body. Again, we made this promise, this pledge, this commitment, this oath to God and to one another. And I will share with you, God knows if you're doing it, But I am going to share with you that we as a congregation, we need to observe it not only in the self-awareness, but in situational awareness, and call it out and make sure that the person, in biblical terms, with a kind and gentle, loving, Christ-like heart, to communicate that that conduct, that behavior, that action is contrary to God's Word and unhealthy to our congregation. Our covenant uses action verbs to avoid and to seek. But just knowing that, just saying that, is not enough to change one's behavior and what the individual is conspiring to do. I saw many alcohol and drug-related criminal cases and their files over 39 years in my defense practice, as well as working with high-risk abusers among the homeless population. And I concluded, and you know this, that just telling someone else or telling yourself over and over again to avoid all addiction, all harmful practices, and all substances is not enough. It may alter a momentary behavioral response, but not make a sustainable life-altering virtue or character change in their life. Every individual has to acknowledge, their lack of self-discipline and loss of control. They need to make an intentional decision to deal with the conflict within, choose to seek help, and they want to change. Today, God wants us to address the avoid part of our covenant statement, and we will seek God's path for a healthy life next week. Please turn in your Bibles to our scripture passage found in Romans chapter 7, verses 13 to 25. I hope that you at home have your Bible with you, that you will join us as I read God's Word for us today. Romans chapter 7, verses 13 to 25. Did that which is good, let me stop real quickly there, that which is good, don't get confused. What is he talking about there, that which is good? You got to look back, and what he's talking about is God's law. God's law is perfect. God's law is good. Did that which is good then bring death to me? By no means. It was sin working death in me and through me, which is good, in order that sin might be shown to be sin, and through the commandment might become sinful beyond measure. We know that the law is spiritual. In other words, when it talks about spiritual, it's saying where God is Lord of your life. Where God is a spiritual man has Christ on the throne of his or her life and controls that life and is in harmony with God's plan. But I am carnal. That's where you control your life as you did even before you became a Christian. Sold under sin. Verse 15. I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Bless you. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good. So then it is no longer I that do it, but sin which dwells within me. Don't say like they did on Laugh-In, the devil made me do it. It's the sin within. It's the conflict within. For I know that nothing good dwells within me. That is in my flesh, in my carnal living. This is where sin has lordship. This is where sin has dominion. This is where sin has power. This is where sin has control. I can will what is right, or will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I that do it, but sin which dwells within me. So, I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God, in my innermost self, but I see in my members another law, at war with the law of my mind, and making me captive to the law of sin which dwells in my members. Paul says right here, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh, my sinful carnal flesh, I serve the law of sin. May the Lord bless you exceedingly in the reading of His Word today. For Paul, for you, and for me, just knowing the difference between right and wrong, stay with me on this. I believe this message is so critical for every single one of our members of our church. We know the difference between right and wrong, between good and evil, between holy and sinful living. But again, just knowing that is not enough. Grunting out a self-determination against temptations in our own strength is not enough. Nor is it becoming a Christian enough to extinguish temptation and sin. For you see, our old sinful nature continuously seeks to rebel and desires independence from God. Because of God's grace and the work of Christ, placing our faith in Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, gives us an instantaneous eternal salvation. But, as George talked about in his Sunday school class this morning, the pursuit of holiness and healthy living, that's a lifetime process that must depend totally on the power of the Holy Spirit that is living in us and through us. The apostles James and Peter submit that testing is designed by God for our development and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. God allows us to be tested in order to give us endurance, and in order to develop us into all holiness. Yet we all have personally experienced that temptation, which can lead to sin, is designed for our destruction. So where does temptation originate from? When we look at 1 Thessalonians 3:5, it identifies Satan, and yes, he is real, Satan as the capital T tempter, who is constantly looking for someone to give into sin. Satan even tried to pull all this on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the wilderness. And do you know what? That same thing that he did to Jesus in the wilderness, he does to you and I each and every day. He's a one-trick pony that keeps using the same thing, but he's very good at it. We can also recognize that temptation can begin from within our own evil desires. If you look in James chapter 1, verses 13 to 15, it states this: Let no one say when he is tempted that I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by what? By his own desire. Then desire, when it conceives, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. So we know sin, temptation originates from Satan. He's got hidden bombs everywhere. We know it comes from our own evil desires. And it also comes from the world. The world leads us astray by enticing us with sinful cravings, appealing to our lustful and greedy eyes, and emboldening our boastfulness and our pride for increased power, for increased position, and materialism. Oh, wretched people at First Baptist Church of Piedmont, South Carolina. Oh, wretched people that we are. Who will deliver us from this body of death? To make the complicated simple again, Paul compels us all to go back to the central basic truth of the hope that is within us. And that is, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Though it is true, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 and 13 admonishes us this. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. In other words, I want to make a point on that. Temptation comes. And you think you have the strength to endure it. I got to tell you something, you're already falling. I had a friend of mine, believer in the Lord. He decided to fall into temptation and sin. And he said to me and another brother in Christ, he said, I have never been so far away from the Lord, but I have never been happier than I am right now. And I sat and I listened to him. And when I walked away from him with this other brother in the Lord that heard him say this, I immediately said to him, that's a guy who jumped out of an airplane and forgot to put a chute on. He has gotten the exhilaration of the fall, but he doesn't realize what he's going to hit when he hits the ground. And his life went into the toilet shortly thereafter. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. For no temptation has overcome you that is not common to man. So let me tell you, any temptation that you and you and you and you and me have, or you at home has, that's common to man. You are not alone. Let's stop judging each other. Let's stop putting lipstick on the pig of temptation and sin and help one another out. Recognize that we have that same temptation. Let's stop the charade and let's actually get real with one another, cry with one another, lament with one another, weep with one another, and recognize that we are all being tempted. But God is faithful. See, it's God who will give you the victory. And He will not let you be tempted beyond your strength. Do you know, as I pray that God puts His guardian angels vigilantly round about each one of you every single day to guide and guard your heart and your mind and your soul and your spirit, I truly believe that God has guardian angels vigilantly round about each and every single one of you to make sure that you are not overwhelmed by what Satan, the world, and our sin nature loads up for us each and every day in order to get out of bed. But with the temptation, we'll also provide the way of escape. In other words, God's path is the only healthy way out. that you may be able to endure it. But there's a caveat, there's a but there, and the but is this. We need to make an intentional decision to actually set our face and take the first step in looking for God's path. The sky is not falling. We don't go around, "Oh, the sky is falling." We don't do that. We go back to our spiritual disciplines. And how do we practically do that? So how can we keep temptation from turning into sin? Well, let me give you a couple. I'm a practical application type preacher. So here it is. The first one is stay alert. Don't get paranoid schizophrenic, but stay alert. Know your weaknesses. Satan knows your weaknesses. Get to know your weaknesses. Put a hedge around your life. Stay accountable to one another. And stay away from compromising situations. Number two, know God's Word. Psalm 119:11 says this, "I have laid up thy Word in my heart that I might not sin against thee." Number three, obey by faith. In other words, submit yourself to God. What does it say in James chapter 4? It says this, "If you resist the devil, he will flee from you." Number four is, learn to flee. Learn to flee from evil and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. If you have friends that are hanging out with you, and they always want to take you into the gray area to see if you'll swear again or see if you'll take that drink again or see if you'll go out and do those high-risk activities again, and you don't go and they say, "Well, if you don't go with us, you're not my friend." Well, let me put it this way. They were never your friend in the first place. Because a friend wants you to be happy. They want you to be healthy. And they probably don't like themselves. You may be the example for them in turning them to Christ. Number five, seek God's healing support from others. Stop pretending. Stop putting on the nice Sunday school and church clothes mentally, physically, emotionally, as a storefront. Sherry and I would go to Hollywood Studios, or we would go down to Old Tombstone because we would want to see where Gunsmoke was. I was a Bonanza fan when I grew up, and I wanted to go see. And when I got there, it was just the face. There's the saloon. That's where Kitty used to hang out in Gunsmoke, and realize there was nothing behind the facade. It was a storefront. We do that as believers, and we don't want people to know that we're struggling. Seek God's healing support from others, individuals who will encourage you to stay away from evil, who are themselves filled with the Holy Spirit, who will comfort you with the Word, and you know what? Who have also overcome and who are now avoiding the very temptation that you're trying to overcome. Make yourself available to somebody who is at high risk. Yes, it will suck some of the life out of you. But that's a part of the work of the ministry. And then six, pray for victory. Because Jesus was able to overcome suffering caused by temptation, He is able to help all who are being tempted. Every day, we need to thank God for giving us freedom through Jesus Christ. Can I just have one amen? Thank you. It is only by exercising His power to lift us up and allowing us to remain in our right mind can we truly have victory over sin. You see, when we try to exercise self-control by ourselves, do you understand that we are only reactionary? We are only given a reactionary response to the temptations that just keep coming at us. Whereas, if we remain in our own right mind, that is, putting on. Do you know I pray for each one of you each and every day that the Lord will allow you to put on the fullness of the mind of Christ and to draw upon it each and every day. That's a proactive response in life and the process of pursuing good and avoiding the bad. We can be proactive by learning the truth in God's Word. Better understanding the truth about ourselves. We are to be sober-minded. We are to be self-honest. We are to be self-aware when we look at ourselves. And I'm going to tell you, half the people in here, I think if you were honest, you would say you hate looking at yourself. But that's the first step in healing. And keeping a proper and right perspective before us about the true and immediate as well as the eternal rewards, but nay, I say, the consequences of our action. We are in conflict with God and each other because of sin. And Jesus makes peace with God on our behalf through His death on the cross. Each of us now have peace with God through the forgiveness of our sins when we believe and trust our minds, our bodies, our hearts, our souls, our spirits, our whole being to Christ. We repent of our sins and we're baptized in His name. Once we have this blessed peace with God, we have the Spirit's power. You have the Holy Spirit within you. You have the power of God within you to resolve conflicts. Even the conflicts within. And to be at peace with all men. Bible teacher and preacher Mike Mazzalongo sums it up this way. I want you to hear this. This is really good. Quote, a change begins with a change of who is Lord over you. And it is completed when your submission to Him is constant and your ministry in His name is ongoing. That is powerful. I want to close with an illustration. I want you to take a look in the Gospel of Mark. I'm going to have to put my readers on for this. Mark chapter 5. And I want to read together and make a couple of closing points. Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. Now this is where Jesus sends the demons into the herd of swine. We also see it in the book of Matthew, and we also see it in the book of Luke. But this is a great, great illustration on what the Lord's message was for us today. This is going to come alive for you. This, you know, Mark is a very, very interesting writer here in that a lot of times Mark talks about healing and raising from the dead and demons and sorcery. That was one of the main messages of the book of Mark. And here we have Jesus doing the same. And it says this, they came to the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gerasenes. When he got out of the boat, immediately a man from the tomb with an unclean spirit met him. And he had his dwelling among the tombs. And no one was able to bind him anymore, even with a chain, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been torn apart by him, and the shackles broke into pieces, and no one was strong enough to subdue him. Constantly, night and day, he was screaming among the tombs and the mountains and gashing himself with stones. Seeing Jesus from a distance, what did he do? He ran up and he bowed down before him and shouting with a loud voice, he said, what business do you have with each other, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you, my God, do not torment me. For he had been saying to him, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And Jesus was asking him, what is your name? And he said to him, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he began to implore him earnestly, not send them out of the country.
Now there was a large herd of swine feeding nearby on the mountain. The demons implored him, saying, "Send us into the swine so that we may enter them." And Jesus gave them permission. And coming out, the unclean spirits entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea, and about 2,000 of them, and they were drowned in the sea. Now their herdsmen ran away and reported it in the city and in the country, and the people came to see what it was that had happened. Now they came to Jesus and observed the man who had been demon-possessed, sitting down, clothed, and what does it say there? And in his right mind. And the very man who had had the legion. And they became frightened. Now those who had seen it described them how it had happened to the demon-possessed man and all about the swine, and they began to implore him to leave. They were imploring Jesus to leave the region. As he was getting in the boat, the man who had the demon possession was imploring Jesus. He was saying to Jesus to please that he might accompany him. And Jesus did not let him. But he said to him, "Now listen, go home to your people and report to them what good things the Lord had done for you and how he had mercy on you." And he went away and he began to proclaim in Decapolis what great things Jesus had done for him, and everyone was amazed. I could not tell a better story to illustrate. Realize this. Having no self-control does not mean that there is no control. It simply means that neither God nor your best self is in control. In this situation, the devil's evil spirits were in full control. And what were they trying to do? They were trying to destroy this person with madness. Once this demon-possessed man submitted to Jesus, his mind was saved, and he became of sound mind. He was able to come into his right mind. See, what happened was is that this man surrendered to Jesus by praying. Praying is talking to God. And he asked him to take control. So, in the temptations that we suffer through and that we have to come to God in prayer in all humility and say, "Please take control of this temptation and sin." The man submitted to Jesus' lordship. Who's going to be in control? When you give it to God, do you still have a hand on that prayer and pulling it back to saying, "Let me see how you're doing, God"? You got to let it go. You got to let Him be Lord. Praying, submitting to his lordship, and then here's the other thing. A lot of us miss this part. Ministering to others by telling his story of how Jesus took control of him and gave him a right mind, which changed his life forever. You see, you can't just go to God, pray and ask him to take control and be Lord, and then when he heals you, that you just go about your regular business. "God, I got the rest of the day. You could take the rest of the day off. Go play golf." See, we got to be willing to go out, as Jesus told this man in his right mind, go and minister to others. Because you know what? You may be the one that God is using, maybe the only one that can minister to that other person that is hurting right now. I love the theme of the next Gideon's International Convention. It's called Continue in the Faith, Stable and Steadfast, from Colossians 1:23. It encourages us to seek God's path for a healthy life. By continuing in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven. If you have never received Jesus into your life as your personal Lord and Savior, don't put that off. Our prayer time this morning that we had is that no one would go away unsaved. Not only here in our sanctuary, but watching on your screen. Don't go through life as this demon-possessed man. Jesus will change your life, change your mind, give you a right mind, give you a purpose, and send you off to a healthy living. But you got to take the step. Come to Him and pray. Make Him Lord of your life. And then obey Him. Acknowledge to God that you're incapable of avoiding addictions, incapable of dealing with harmful behavior and practices. Or it may be a substance abuse of some kind. Let God, He wants to heal you today. He wants to give you a right mind. Come forward now and receive the Lord's free gift of salvation, His forgiveness of all your sins, past, present, and future, and He will provide His unlimited sources in dealing with every conflict in your life. He has an eternal place for you if you will come and see Him now. He is waiting. You come.